This is Cryde Sweet of Fairfax, California. The date is November 18, 1962. All too few people of the United States realize the great heritage left by the American Indian. Old historians deliberately colored their so-called reports in an attempt to justify the persecution of the Indians, seizure of their lands, and even consistently breaking the treaties made by our forefathers with the Indian tribes, whose word was a bond of honor. The Navajo's heritage has been preserved by Mrs. Mabel Wheelwright, who founded the Navajo Museum at Santa Fe, New Mexico. She spent over 20 years collecting sand paintings, chants, legends, that they might not be lost. In California, close to Mount Lassen, lived a tribe of Indians, the Aseuiji. Lassen territory had long been theirs, and being by nature and the teachings of their medicine men, peace-loving, they offered no resistance to the white man who seized their lands. Because they were peaceful, they were never placed on a reservation, but they were never given land rights. When the last of their great medicine men was...
Huh? Engineer?
His father, your father's name. Your father's name.
Oh. Eheo Kaiai Moise.
His daughter, Mrs. Selena Lamar of Burney, California, has consented to give this recording that generations, both of today and of the future, might know of and perhaps be inspired by this great Indian whose teachings were untouched by contact with a white man. Thus do we hope to preserve the penetrating and beautiful concept of this Aseuiji, the medicine man, the shaman. Mrs. Lamar, what was your Indian name?
Unapimina.
What does it mean?
Sunset.
Where were you born?
Burney.
When?
1890, perhaps, earlier.
What was your tribe's name?
Achukeyan.
Who was your father?
Oh, the medicine man? Or his name?
He was
our medicine man.
What was his name?
Eheo Kaiai Moise.
Where was he born?
Hatch Creek, I think.
How old was he when the white man came?
He used to say he was, just a guess, he would think he was about 11 or 12 years old.
What happened then?
Well, the white people were driving them away. They captured my father's mother. Mm-hmm. His father was a good runner, and he couldn't keep up running with his father. So he told him, they came to a dry creek where a lot of drift, limbs, and things like that, told him to crawl in there. So he did. He said he crawled in there, stayed there, and the white people tramped all over him. They didn't know he was under there. He used to say if they knew I was under there, I don't know what they'd done to me. Maybe they'd kill me. But after everything quieted down, he said his father come back and asked if he was still under there. He said yes. Well, he crawled out. And they went someplace, I don't know where they stayed. Later, his mother come back, say about a little over a year. She run away and come back.
Where did your father live most of the time?
Well, I think he lived most of the time in Hat Creek that I could remember.
In where?
Hat Creek.
Hat Creek. And where is Hat Creek?
Pretty close to California, Shasta County, or whatever you'd call it.
Shasta County? Mm-hmm. Or is that, what town was Hat Creek near?
There's no town.
What, Burney is near to it?
Yeah, Burney's the nearest.
Yeah, about how far is it from Burney?
I think it's about 30 miles. I'm not sure. Not fast, no, I don't think.
20 miles.
Something like that.
20 miles?
I think so.
And you have always lived here?
Yeah.
Nearby?
Mm-hmm.
When you were a little girl, what did your father tell you?
he would allow us to say anything bad about anybody or anything, only good. He told us that if we said anything bad, it would come back and hurt us. The rock and the trees and the flowers would hear what we said, and one day it would come back and hurt us. That's what my father said.
When did he usually talk to you?
After dinner, he would sometimes smoke only one little cigarette and talk to us for an hour, maybe longer, before we go to sleep.
What did he talk about?
He told us we must never lie or steal. We must never say anything bad or do anything bad, but only good. If we thought only good and never bad, we would be well and live a long time. But if you are mean and think bad thought, everything is against you. One day I got mad at a woman. I told my mother that I was going to fight the woman first time I see her.
Why? What did
she
do?
Well, she told a story on me that wasn't true. And I guess my mother told my father what I was going to do. The next day, my father got after me. He said, "You're not no dog to bark. Dog lets all bark every time and it moves." He said, "You leave that dog woman alone." So I never bothered the woman. Whenever I see her, she used to shy away from me, go the other direction when she sees me. That's why I knew she was coming. But later I believe what my father said. I see her and I used to talk to her. Forget about it. My father used to tell us that our big God, our Kwan, wanted us to love everybody, not hate anyone or talk bad about anyone. He told us, "Big God is good. That is the way he wants you to be."
Were these talks usually just before you went to sleep?
Yes, but sometimes my grandfather would tell me stories. He would stretch out and tell me stories and sing, I would go to sleep.
Did your father believe in what we call God?
Yes. He called him Kwan in our language. That means big God. Sometimes he is called Silver Gray Fox. When the world was first made, there were just two in it, big God and coyote. We call coyote Makita. That means evil spirit. They live together. Big God is kind, good. He loves everything. He knows everything. He knows what you are thinking, whatever everything is thinking. He always tries to help people and make everything easy for them, but coyote always tried to spoil whatever Big God did. Like the time when Big God made this highness. He made it just to make easy, everything easy to get. And he had a long stick and he would put it through his mouth, made that noise just like a nut. And the old coyote looked at him and said, "What are you doing?" So he said, "He is fixing something." He didn't tell him what. He said, "Let me help you." So he picked up one and gave it to him. He done the same thing as Silver Gray Fox did. And he didn't make no noise, and he thought it was funny. And then he told him what he'd done. Then he spoiled it. He said, "You're supposed to climb after it." He said, "In tree." And that's where he did the nutshell. Big trees up.
Why did he make them climb the trees?
To get the nuts the hard way.
Oh, the hard way. He didn't want them to have the easy way?
No. That's why he spoiled everything.
Did he keep on spoiling things?
Yeah.
All the time?
Mm-hmm.
What did your father ever tell you how the world was made?
He used to tell us that when the first was water, then the big God made the earth. There weren't any hills or mountains. So he would kick up a little earth with his feet and then would be make a little hill. Then he would kick up some more and made a bigger hill. Then a lot more, and that made the mountain. I don't know how he made the stream and what lake. Then he made trees and flowers and grass and animals and birds, everything but no people. When he made the animal, he sent Coyote away so that he wouldn't spoil them. When the coyote came back and saw all the animals, he asked Big God what they were. The big God told him, "What am I?" he said, asked. Big God told him he was Coyote, and the coyote got mad. He says, "I'm going to eat your father." That's awful. Bob, you know what God's father was.
When did the big God make people?
Well, later, afterwards.
After he made
all the animals and everything.
People were the last things to do.
Yeah.
When your father wanted to heal people, what would he do first?
He would go to the hills or mountains and talk to the lake or the mountains or a big rock and big tree. He would ask it what he should do, then smoke his stone pipe. He only smoked it when he prayed and waited. He know Big God heard him, so he waited, and always Big God answered him, told him what to sing, and if herb were needed, what herb to use. He told us we should do the same thing. Go to the hills and talk to the lake or a big rock or a big tree and tell if it would what was worrying us. Big God would hear us. He would help us. If we believe what that is what my father told us. But you must first have a good thought. If you have a bad thought, doesn't do any good. Big God wouldn't help.
How did he heal the people?
Sometimes he did use to sing over them. Sometimes he would give them a herb if Big God had told him to do, but always he sings over them. When he would sing, he would tell them they must think a good thought. If they didn't, they wouldn't get well. If you are mean and think a bad thought, everything is against you. You will be sick and you wouldn't live long. So my father told us. My father would sing for 3 nights, all night long if necessary. If he had to give herbs, he waited give them only day. In the day. If he couldn't cure them at the end of 3 nights, he would tell them to get someone else. Sometimes a person would be sick, all mixed up, sort of crazy. When my father came, he would tell if was because spirit had left his body.
What do you mean by that?
Sometimes people would do something and then spirit would leave it, go away from the body, didn't want to stay in it because it was bad. My father would come, he would sing, ask the spirits to come back to the body. The person promised to do better. Sometimes he would have to do a lot of coaxing to get it to come back. I have seen it with my own eyes. Wash the patient's face with the water.
What happened?
Well, the patient would be, he used to say wash the patient, and that when the spirit come back in the body, the woman fainted. They just took cold water and washed her face with his wife.
But
she come to.
Did you see her?
Yeah.
Did you watch the woman?
Mm-hmm. I watched the woman.
And you could tell when the spirit entered the body?
Yeah.
Just as your father had told you?
Yeah, some of them take, but they don't get that way. Some of them does get that way.
You mean that faint?
Yeah, faint.
They're not always, they don't always faint.
No.
But he's usually able to get the spirit back?
Yeah. You can tell when they sing in the bar, the spirit is coming back slow, just by singing. You can hear it the way he sings. It's gradually coming back little by little.
When he's singing, is he coaxing the spirit
mm-hmm.
to come back?
Yeah.
That's what he sees.
Yeah.
How long does it take sometimes?
Well, sometimes it takes about half a night.
Half a night? Mm-hmm. To coax the spirit back.
Coax the spirit back.
My, that's a long time being
mm-hmm.
singing all
yeah.
that time. Does anybody else sing with him, or does
oh,
he just sing?
Oh, they do party there.
There are lots of people.
Mm-hmm. Lots of people.
They join in with your father
mm-hmm.
to coax them. Do you all then, they all join and coax the spirit
mm-hmm.
to come
yeah.
back?
See, they coax the spirit by singing. And they all sing that song. See, my father mm-hmm. takes the lead. Singing and they all follow him.
And they all follow mm-hmm. him. And that's what happens when anytime when he's trying to heal anybody, the people all join him in
mm-hmm.
singing.
Yeah.
He doesn't always sing just all by himself.
No.
He starts in singing.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the people pick up the song
mm-hmm.
and repeat it.
Yeah.
Sing it over and over and over, the same song.
Mm-hmm. No. They sing about, say about 10 or 15 minutes, then they stop.
Yes.
Then he talks. And the interpreter answers, tells him what he's saying.
Oh, that's right,
mm-hmm.
because he just goes to different tribes
yeah.
and all the tribes
mm-hmm.
would understand it.
Yeah, see, people that understand, he takes one person who can understand the language. See, every different Indian's got different language,
yes.
different tribes. And then he'd sing another song. They don't sing the same song over and over.
Oh, they don't. They sing
uh-uh.
different songs.
Different songs.
And then the people pick up the song from
yeah.
the way he sings it.
Mm-hmm.
And they just follow him. They
yeah.
can just follow him,
they
even though they've
him.
Never heard the song before.
Mm-hmm.
And they can follow along and sing the song.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. When, if people were far away, how would they send to your father?
They would bring a string of beads made of shell or bone. They were expensive. My father would feel them in his hand, the beads, and if the bead is cold, he'd tell the people, he said, it's cold, he's gone or she's gone, whatever he is. And if the bead is warm, she's still living, by chance. Then he'd go.
And then, but one time when they didn't have any more of these expensive beads, it sounds as though it was wampum, what did they bring to your father then?
Well, they used to use silver dollars then. They shouldn't have bring that. Belongs to the sick patient.
Belongs
to,
this is a property of
yeah.
the sick patient,
mm-hmm.
always, I
yeah.
see. So then they would bring maybe a dollar that the sick patient owned
mm-hmm.
and bring that to your father.
Yeah.
And then your father would, what would he do?
He'd smoke. Play with that.
Would he smoke his pipe at his prayer pipe?
Yeah.
And then he would feel the silver
mm-hmm.
dollar in
yeah.
his hand.
And he said, if the silver dollar don't get warm, the patient is gone. She has no chance. And the silver dollar turns warm, he said, she still has a chance. And then he'd go.
Did he give back the silver dollar?
No, they gave it back.
He always gave it back to the people, the wampum or the silver dollar. He always gave it back. Did it make any difference how from far, how far away they came?
No, it didn't make no difference.
Or it was 20 or 30 or 40 miles?
Mm-hmm. He'd go.
He'd go, I mean, and he could, he'd always tell?
Yeah, he can tell.
He could tell, I mean, it didn't make any difference. He could tell from these beads, just the feel of these beads. He could tell how the person was over 40 miles away?
Yeah.
And he was never wrong if they were very, if they had gone, he was always right that they were still alive when he got there.
Yeah.
He knew that from the warm feel. That is wonderful. What about death? What did your father tell you? That when a person died, for instance, what happened to their spirit?
If you have lived a good life, a good thought, never do anything wrong, never hurt anyone, your spirits will go to the big God up in the sky. If you have been bad, never had bad thoughts.
No, if you've been bad.
If you've been bad, mean, had bad thoughts, your spirits will go to the coyote and stay with him. I don't know where that is.
Well, then he means then that if you live a good life and always have good thoughts and never did anything or try never to do anything wrong or hurt anyone, then your spirit will go to the big God up in the sky. That's what he used to say. But if you have been bad and were mean and had bad thoughts, then where did your spirit go?
I don't know where the coyote is. Evil spirit.
You could go where the coyote is.
Yeah.
You don't know where that is, but it was wherever it wasn't a good place.
No.
And when you were a little girl, or rather when you became a woman, how old were you then? About 13?
About 13 or 14.
Old. And what do they do there? I understand that sometimes they pierce your ears, or sometimes they have a dance. Is that right?
Yes.
Sometimes they dance. Does everybody dance or just some people dance?
Well, a long time ago, everybody used to dance. But
then,
later,
of course, later on.
Yeah.
But a long time ago, they all used to dance.
Mm-hmm.
And did they used to sing, too?
Yeah, they sing.
Was there a special song they used to sing?
Yeah, they had special songs.
There was one of those songs I think you said you remembered. Could you sing it?
The
dance song? What was the dance song like? You just remember the
lips? Remember this?
Everybody, sing it again. I think it's a lovely melody. Try singing it again.
We only know, 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 ew, ew.
That is it now, but in those days, that was a very real thing. Well, now, with you, they didn't have a dance, but they pierced your ears?
Yes.
And who pierced it?
My mother.
When was it? Was it the morning or was it towards the evening?
Towards the evening, before sunset.
Why was it before sunset?
Why out of the room?
Well, and what did you
have to get up to the mound before dark.
Oh, well then, what did she pierce it with?
With mahogany stick.
A little small chip or something?
Yeah.
A little piece of mahogany?
They fix it just like a needle.
Oh, make it very sharp.
Mm-hmm. And then they grabbed the ear and kept pulling on it until it was warm, and then they pierced.
Then, after that was done, then what did you have to do?
Then you have to go up to the mountain.
What mountain did you go to?
Sugarloaf.
To Sugarloaf. Mm-hmm. And you had to get up there before the sunset?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then after you got up there, what did you find?
Well, we walked around on top of the mountain, and there's a lot of little rocks piled up here and there, you know, where the people used to go up. We piled them.
Well, who you say by, wait, didn't you go up alone?
No, I had my sister.
You had your little sister. Oh, that was right. She had her ears pierced at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the reason she went along. You were both doing the same ceremony, I see. So then you both were up there together. That made it easier. Otherwise, you would have been all alone. If you didn't have your sister happen to be go at the same time. All right, so you made a pile of little rocks.
Mm-hmm.
And then what did you do? Did you go, you talk to these rocks?
Yeah, we sat there and talked, good things. Made a little fire. Good things, good luck, good power. I would ask the rocks or the tree to give it to me. I had to think only good about everything, everybody. I could not sleep. I might have a bad dream or a bad thought. I must think only good.
That was all night long.
Mm-hmm.
You had to both just keep your thoughts only on the good things.
Mm-hmm. That's all.
And you know, your father was very insistent about that.
Mm-hmm.
Then, when you were sick, you told me once that your father sang over you. What was that? What happened there?
Well, I had pain in my stomach. My stomach was all swelled up.
Was it swelled up awfully big?
Yeah. You couldn't even touch it.
Couldn't touch it. Well, was it very painful to touch it?
Yeah, I just couldn't touch it. Oh, it just hurt. So they took me to a doctor, a white doctor. And the white doctor said to you, I had to be operated or else I wouldn't live 2 weeks. But my father wouldn't let him operate on me. He just sang over me. And the first night he sang over me, the pain kind of left. My stomach went down little by little. And I'm still alive today.
And you got well?
I got well.
Did he have to sing three nights, or was that one night?
No, just one night he sang.
Well, now, at that time, were there other people that joined in, or did he do it by himself? Oh,
yeah.
People joined in, too.
People,
he had a regular sing.
Mm-hmm. They had to join in. People come, you know, they let him know, and they come and help him.
It makes it stronger.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Gives him more, what is it, more power or something,
something when
everybody sing together.
Mm-hmm.
That helps the patient more
than
just one voice, one person singing. Even though he's a good medicine man, it's stronger if the people help him.
Yeah.
They all sing the same thing, and it
thing.
Helps the person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so then but it only took one night sing for you.
That's all.
Well, you weren't so awful sick then. The white man thought you were. And the pain finally left you, and you got perfectly well.
Mm-hmm.
And the stomach went all the way.
Yeah.
It went on down on that part.
Mm-hmm.
Then, if you were to give a last word for everyone, it's been wonderful of you to share this with us, and if you were to give a last summing up of the message of your father for everybody, what do you think he would give us?
Always think only good thought.
Did Big God have a son?
Yes.
Did Coyote have a son?
Yes.
Did they ever have a mother?
I never heard.
You don't know whether they were.
No.
You only know that Big God and Coyote had each
son.
Had a son.
Mm-hmm.
What happened when there was Big God's son with him?
Yes, he was with him.
Most of the time?
Most of the time.
What happened one time?
Well, the Big God and the Coyote sent their son towards the sunset to get a shell. And they went and they got the shell. The Big God's son got the nice shell and the Coyote's son got kind of not so good. So whatever it was, whoever it was down there chased them, because they did not lose their shells. They took after them, and the Coyote son stopped and looked back, and he got killed. So the Silver Gray Fox son picked up the shell, and he come with it. And when he got home, he gave the Coyote back his shell, what his son got, and the Harold said that ain't the kind of shell his son picks up. Well, he, that's the one he had, and he was kind of sore about it.
Who was kind of sore?
The coyote. He wanted to kill the Silver Gray Fox son. But he couldn't for a while, for some way he killed the Silver Gray Fox son. And they both didn't have no son.
And then what happened? Did he, did he ever try to kill the Silver Gray Fox, the Kowan?
Yeah, he tried to kill him, but he couldn't kill him.
Well, how did he try?
Well, he tried with fire. I'm used to always doing that. He set the world on a fire.
How did he do that?
Well, he just set a fire, I guess, and went to kill the Silver Gray Fox, and the Silver Gray Fox knew that the coyote was trying to kill him. So he split a, I don't know what it was, a twig of some kind, and he split it in two, and he crawled in there, and he let that hang in the water. A little coyote come with the fire. Silver Gray Fox know he was big eater, so he made things grow all the way along. Choke cherries would strive, and he'd stop, and he'd get filled up, and then he'd go, and then he'd sing something else. Ripe, he'd stop and eat, kept a going. Every little ways, he'd stop and eat.
Did the Silver Gray Fox put those in his
yeah.
way?
Mm-hmm. Put it in his way where he was traveling. She said, he knows the coyote was great hand to eat.
Uh-oh.
That's why he got
it. He thought maybe he could stop it.
Yeah. But he'd filled up and then he'd go with the fire. And after he got there where he thought the Silver Gray Fox fire went out, he sat down and he got to thinking, why did he do that? Well, he was all alone then. He was sorry. And the Silver Gray Fox slipped that open and he walked out. Asked him what he was doing. He couldn't say anything. He was sorry. Well, they got to the Silver Gray Fox and asked him. He couldn't answer. The coyote couldn't answer what the Silver Gray Fox asked him. So they were friendly, you know.
Silver Gray Fox then didn't scold him or anything?
No, he didn't scold him. He was just good. Just like the old god himself.
Well, he was the old god himself.
And he was good. So he didn't do anything. So one day, the Silver Gray Fox made a net. And he'd look over where the coyote is all the time. How big a head he had, that's what he was looking at. The old coyote said, what you look at me for? Well, he said, you don't have to be like that, he said, because we lost our son, he said. There's a lot of ashes and stuff all over your hair. Oh, he said, he dusted all. But he was making traps for him. And after he finished, the trap, told the coyote, let's go drive some rabbit. I said, all right. He says, you drive the rabbit. He says, I'll hold the net. And he said, okay, he drove the rabbit. He saw the rabbit coming, he raised his net up so the rabbit would go through. He saw the old coyote coming and he set it down. He caught the coyote and he hit him. He said, don't hit me, he said, it's me. He hit him anyhow, killed him. Then he went round the place where the coyotes been destroy everything for him. I don't know what you call it.
Urine.
He destroyed everything. I don't know how he knew wherever he hit that. Well, he missed one place in the island. Well, he figured it'd be about 3 nights. First night in the morning, he didn't hear the coyote holler. Well, the second night came. In the morning, he didn't hear no coyote howling. Well, the third night, he listened. He got ready to steal out of his coyote howling. And he know he missed it now. And the coyote's been here since. Boiling everything. I don't know what it's been if he didn't come back.
That's probably just too tropical world.
Yeah.
Now, you were telling me that they, you have a snake song.
Mm-hmm.
When did he sing the snake song?
Well, my mother used to tell us when we'd go out, pick berries, or we'd go fishing. There's a lot of snakes. Well, that is rattlesnake around the country. He used to tell us to sing that song where we travel, and he was afraid of them. So we used to go out, sing that song when we go through the brush and everything like that.
And you never got struck by him? Never got it? Even though you went all over all the other places, you never got to the
No.
What was the song? Would you sing the song? Could you still remember the song you sang?
Yeah, I remember it. In the mucky lip lip lick, half is my high, in the mucky lip lip lick, half is my high.
What does that mean?
That means the rattlesnake, stay away from them, because you're packing a turtle's head. That's what that song means.
And the rattlesnake is afraid of a turtle's
head?
Yeah,
they claim the rattlesnake is afraid of a turtle because they can't hurt him. When the rattlesnake is actually, they all go back in their shell.
All he does is hit a hard shell.
Mm-hmm, that's all.
So the snake is rattlesnake's afraid of him.
Mm-hmm.
Sing that song. I think it has a lovely melody. Let's try the song again.
In the nutty lip lip lick, your heart is not high, it's great. In the nutty lip lip lick, your heart is not high, it's great.
Oh, I think that's a lovely song. Then we said something about the chief. He also had a way of keeping the rattlesnakes away. What did he do?
Well, he used to get a turtle that is down near the castle. I used to see him. And he'd cook the turtle. And when the turtle's cooked, he'd eat the meat part, but he'd save the liver.
It was the cooked liver?
Mm-hmm, cooked liver. And then when he'd go out in the rocks where there's a lot of snakes, he'd take that liver and smear it all over his moccasins. He says, that'll keep the rattlesnake.
And did it?
Mm-hmm.
He never got bit.
He never got bit,
no? Well, didn't you say there was one man that did have what you call rattlesnake power?
Mm-hmm.
What did he do?
Well, if rattlesnake bit you, he could take it out.
How did he do it?
He just stuck it out.
Just stuck it
mm-hmm.
out?
Yeah.
And he was able to get it out completely
mm-hmm.
and
yeah.
people didn't
know he had the power, rattlesnake power, you see. If he knows it, he can do
he
it.
Was a medicine man, wasn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, he was a medicine man.
And not anybody could get it. If anybody just sucked it, they didn't always get it out.
No, Unless you got the power.
Unless you
had. He had the rattlesnake power.
He had that
mm-hmm.
rattlesnake power?
Yeah.
There was no one else around that had any such
no.
power. Even your father didn't have
no.
that.
No.
He had a different
they
kind of power.
They had different kinds of power. Every medicine man had different kinds of power.
Each one was
mm-hmm.
different.
Different.
Mm-hmm. Different. Different kinds of power.
Yeah.
One of the powers that your father had was be able to get rid of those, to get the spirit to come
mm-hmm.
back. That
yeah.
was one of his things that he had special power to do,
mm-hmm.
wasn't it? Because
yeah.
he always, you said they used to come from all around to him for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He could tell when the spirit was away and to try to bring the spirit back.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of his powers.
Yeah.
But this man had a rattlesnake power.
Yeah.
And he could suck out the rattlesnake
mm-hmm.
poison.
Yeah.
And really?
Mm-hmm.
Never had trouble.
Never had trouble.
What was it your mother said? You said your mother used to have something too.
Well, my mother used to, in case, you know, she used to go out and get weeds, some kind of weeds, but I don't know what it is.
And what would
our
she
dog
do?
Got bit
uh-huh.
one time, and she made plaster out of that just hot water on that weed, and softened it up, and we stuck it on that dog where we got bit. But you had to hold him on there. So,
yeah.
Now dogs did. Well, swelling one way.
And it healed
the
dog.
It didn't die.
It didn't die.
Mm-mm.
Then you were telling me that your father was interested in the stars.
Oh, yes. He used to say that stars all mean something, like the seven stars. They claim the seven star is a lucky star because, you see, it goes down. I don't know just when it goes down, and I know the seven star come up in July the 3rd.
July the 3rd?
Mm-hmm. That's when it comes back up.
Comes up right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And my father used to tell me that's when it comes up, so we went to Rising River and stayed there one night. We slept outside. I woke up early and I looked and looked, didn't come up. Just didn't want you to see it. Finally, I dozed off to sleep. Woke up, look up, star was way up already, all seven. That's just your luck, they claim. If we don't want you to see it, and they ain't gonna come.
Where they put you to sleep?
Mm-hmm.
So you won't see them?
Yeah, so you wouldn't see them.
Did your father have it? Did you see them?
Mm-hmm. He saw them. That's why he used to tell us.
He
said they'd come up one at a time. It was like something would come up and stick. Another one would come up and stick just wherever they're supposed to be. You know, there's seven stars all together.
Yeah. And they would bring luck.
Mm-hmm.
Did they bring luck to him when
yeah,
he was able to see them?
Mm-hmm.
How long did the luck last?
Oh, maybe a year.
Maybe a year. Mm-hmm. But you then you'd have to see him the next July.
Yeah.
Or you wouldn't have a good luck.
I never get to see
him. You never did? Mm-hmm. They kept themselves hid.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. You aren't supposed to have the good luck.
No.
And then didn't you say he knew something about he watched the sun?
Yeah, he used to watch the sun.
And then what was that he did about December?
December, well, you know that's when the sun turns back.
Yes.
Goes back up towards north. He had a tree spotted. He used to sit out there from the porch light in the morning. If that sun goes past that tree,
that's when it's rising.
Mm-hmm. When it's rising, he used to say, well, we're going to have a hard winter. He says that sun went past that tree. And when that sun don't pass that tree, turns back before it hit that tree, going back towards north, we're going to have good winter.
Was he right?
Yeah.
He was
right.
It was always right. Yeah.
And
it was the sunrise. It wasn't the sunset.
No, it wasn't. Well, some people did watch the sunset, but...
Our
place where we was living is just like that mountain, and you can see the sun come up.
Oh, you could see the sun come up, but not so well the sunset.
Yeah.
So he watched the sunrise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he was able to tell by that.
Mm-hmm.
What other stars were do you think were interesting to
Well, the morning watch? Stars he used to claim, and the evening stars.
Did he say anything about them then at all?
He didn't say anything about them, but he used to watch them. He did say something about the evening star, but I
forgot what it was. Did he ever talk to the stars?
I guess he did what he used to tell. Wiggly stars, you know. He said every star means something. That's what he used to say. That was my brother.
No, well, of course, he was a medicine man, and he had knew a lot of these things that other people wouldn't know. What were the months? How did they were able to tell the months?
Months, they had names for every month. I know a few, but I forgot most of them.
How did they know it was about? They tell by the moon?
Mm-hmm. A new moon, they say.
With a new moon, a new month.
Yeah, new moon.
And then, all right, what was January?
Well, January, they used to call what up behind.
What did that mean?
That's the biggest part of the winter.
That's the biggest part of the winter,
mm-hmm.
on that big month.
Yeah.
And then, what was February?
Good eating away.
What did that mean?
That means, you know, when if they had trail or something, sun hits it, and the road's kind of lopsided. That's what that means.
That's what that
mm-hmm.
means. Maybe the trail was covered with snow, and part of the snow melted
yes.
away or
mm-hmm.
something, and made a lopsided trail.
Yeah.
Because that would be the winter time when you'd have snow.
Mm-hmm.
Then in April, what was the word?
We called leetlock. That's the fly time, you know, like salmon flies comes out.
Yeah. That was fly time.
Yeah, that's what that means.
And what did May mean?
May means root time.
Root time?
Mm-hmm. Pitchcock, we call it.
Pitchcock. So mm-hmm. What does that mean? Is that when you went out digging for roots?
Yeah.
What kind of roots would you dig for?
Well, you people call it April.
April?
Mm-hmm. We call it pitchko in our language.
Pitch?
Pitchko.
Pitchko.
They look like little radish.
They look like little radish.
They were sweet, though.
They were sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Were there, you said there was something that you had that you could eat as like a cake, cookies.
Oh, well, that's dried wild plums after you dry. So you take all the seeds out and
yeah.
mash it all up.
Yep.
Just make cookie like and dry
it. Make it good.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Put it out in the sun. Very mm-hmm. sweet. It would be
yeah.
very nice. That was a wild plum.
Mm-hmm.
How did your mother make the bread?
Well, she used to make bread out of acorn, palm acorn. Because acorn, black oak acorn are bitter.
Yeah.
And she'd leach it, pour water on it, get all the bitterness. She'd bake bread, look just like a loaf of bread. She'd dig a hole in gnarly and black rock, she'd eat it, you see. She'd fix up the knife, and she knows the rocks are hot. She'd clean all the ashes, and she'd bury it down with oak leaves.
Oak leaves? Green oak leaves?
Mm-hmm.
Green oak leaves?
But summertime and wintertime, no oak leaves.
No.
She used to use pine needles.
Pine needles.
But pine needles it's got a funny taste to it.
Oh.
It goes on the bread.
Oh.
And after it's baked, you can't tell this is from fruit cake.
What color fruit cake? What did she put the on top of them? She put on top?
Yeah, she used to put our green leaves.
Yeah.
And then she'd take that hot ashes and put it over and then set a little fire
on top of the ashes.
Mm-hmm.
Little fire top.
Yeah.
So she got it baking on
mm-hmm.
top. While down below the oven.
Yeah,
the stones were hot.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the way she made her oven.
Mm-hmm.
That was the kind of oven she used.
Yeah.
In the winter, did they cook like that?
Mm-hmm.
That was the way they baked the bread.
Yeah.
What were the foods you used to have like that?
Well, they used to barbecue just like you do nowadays, you know, the
meat,
whatever they had. They used to cook it that.
And then you had your vegetables with the roots?
Well, they used to have vegetables. In springtime, they used to pick it, and my mother used to dry it.
Oh, was it what were like wild radish leaves or something?
Something like that. We call it popcorn in Ireland.
They
used to gather a lot of that. And there's, looked like they put it, it might have been mustard green, but it looked like that. That used to gather too.
And then they would dry it.
They'd dry it.
And you'd have that for winter.
Mm-hmm.
That would keep.
Yeah, it'd keep when it's dry.
And
it's
just,
on the way.
What would she do? Put water on it then?
Mm-hmm.
And then
hot water.
Cook it a little bit, and that gives you your green.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had your bread.
Bread.
Acorn bread, and then you had some green vegetables.
Yeah.
Or a root. Did you have any root vegetables?
Yeah, they had all kinds of bulbs that they used to dig. But I...
You don't remember?
I know the name in my own language. We call it urumi, echiku, and uskitir, and guskol. There's a lot of them.
And then you had greens, you had bread, and you had your meat.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever have any milk at all?
No, didn't have any.
What did they drink?
Water.
They didn't have any, like an herb tea or anything?
Oh, they had tea.
What did they make that out of?
Well, we call it borashia soup in our language.
Yeah, what kind of?
We call it wild tea, too.
It was something that
someone grows his spot that high, and it smells just like tea.
It smelled like tea, a little low. That was about a 10-inch high bush.
Yeah.
Very low bush.
Yeah.
And it smelled almost like some wild shrub.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they would just cook that and make tea like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Just like you put it in hot water and color the tea.
Do you remember any of the herbs that your mother used to collect?
Oh, she used to collect all kinds of herbs. That she learned from my father, that is,
yes.
medicine.
Yeah. You don't remember?
I don't remember what.
How would they make them? Would they make a tea out of that
mm-hmm.
sometimes?
They used to make tea.
And then have people drink
mm-hmm.
the tea?
Yeah.
How did they make the tea?
Well, they had baskets.
Yeah.
But they didn't have no pots or
no,
pans.
No.
They used to have baskets. They put the tea in there. Put rock in the hot rock, you know, heat the water.
Uh-huh.
And they put that tea in there.
And it'd steep for a while?
Yeah.
Until it got strong. Until
you got it strong, and you put in hot rocks.
And
that's where they even cook the acorn.
That's the way they cook the acorn, make an acorn soup.
Yeah.
That same way with the hot rocks. And
yeah.
Just keep adding hot rocks until you've got it cooked enough. Then take the rocks out, and you've got your soup.
Yeah.
And did they ever make a poultice out of some of the herbs, too?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Like
there's a lot of
it,
I don't know the name.
You don't know.
I know what it looked like when if I
see it. But mm-hmm. you don't know about
I don't know the name.
First, especially our English names.
Yeah.
For them. And then you were saying that there was about this, that your uncle had a special blanket. What was it made like?
Oh,
he loved that blanket of his.
Here it's made out of rabbit skin.
Rabbit skin. How did they cut the rabbit skin?
Well, they cut it thin and they'd
about 2 inches wide?
Something like that. And then they'd curl it.
Yeah.
And they'd put it across the tree to tree, you know, to dry.
Dry,
and
yeah.
After it get dry, they'd weave it together. It looked like a quilt.
It was woven just like you'd read and wove your basket.
Yeah.
Only they wove a blanket.
Mm-hmm.
And that was very warm. How long would it keep?
Well, it kept a long time.
How many years?
I don't know how many years he had. He had it all the time that I know of.
That was a long time. And the moths didn't get into it,
mm-hmm.
or any vermin or anything else got into it?
No,
and it
got
it. Into that rabbit skin.
Uh-huh.
I saw a skin like that down in woven. And down in Santa Fe, in the museum there, and they had it on an old, I think she was a Hopi woman, and either Hopi or Zuni, and it was woven in rabbit skin,
mm-hmm.
the same type of a blanket. It was all woven, and it was a very warm blanket.
Mm-hmm.
That was her blanket that she had, and it was in wonderful condition.
Yeah.
I think she'd had it 4 years, and
yeah.
it was a wonderful condition, her rabbit skin blanket was. And she wove, way down there, they wove a blanket, and your uncle, did he weave
mm-hmm.
the blanket, or Did he get
the
weaving?
Yeah, he made it himself.
The men did the weaving, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The women, your women made the baskets, didn't
mm-hmm.
you?
Yeah.
What kind of baskets did you make?
Yeah,
well, that was reeds that you wove these
mm-hmm.
reeds and patterns. Any
yeah.
special patterns? Do the patterns mean anything?
Oh, yes, they got names for every pattern, whatever you put on the basket.
Does it mean something?
Yeah.
Like clouds or
mm-hmm.
lightning or anything
mm-hmm.
like that? Did it mean when you're weaving, you're thinking of?
Yeah, some put on lizard claws, some put on a geese line. Oh,
do they put rain or clouds on?
I have seen it. You
never put rain. They don't
no.
put rain or a cloud. Some places
no.
they do, but you don't do it here.
Mm-hmm.
You put in more animals and birds?
Yeah. Something like that.
You weave into yours. And you made little hats. I saw you making a little hat.
Yeah, they used to make hats.
It was very fine. Mm-hmm.